On today's Spotlight on KRWC, on the second Wednesday of each month, we visit with Wright County public health officials, and we're going to talk with Sarah Grosich. She is the public health director for Wright County. It's been a little while since we've chatted on the latest updates on COVID-19, so we're going to welcome her to Spotlight today. Sarah, welcome back, and nice to talk with you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How's the department holding up? This is some trying times there, obviously.
It has been a long response, that is for sure. Yes, we continue to, keep plugging away.
I got to think that this is historically probably the biggest thing that Wright County Public Health has ever had to tackle or to address, or certainly among the top.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a history in public health in recent memory where there's been county public health departments that is quite as expansive. I mean, certainly there have been mass vaccination campaigns and other illnesses that were of great national concern. I'm thinking of polio, for instance, other flu pandemics, but COVID-19 is definitely unprecedented for modern public health history. Yeah.
When we last talked, I think we were kind of just past the opening salvo, if you will, of the response to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kind of today give you an opportunity to bring us up to what's going on now and what has transpired in that period of time.
Yeah, so maybe just so your listeners know, we're recording this in advance. So it is Monday the 10th. And as of right now, Wright County now has 892 cases of COVID-19 that have been reported since the March 13th when we had our first case. And we are still at 5 deaths, which we've had that many deaths for quite a period. So that is good news. It has been nearly 5 months. And I would say in the last month or so, as we've seen the state open up and you've seen the state numbers increase, we also have seen local case numbers grow significantly with a wider age range across our population that have tested positive. And, we have seen all of our communities across Wright County experience cases. So there is definitely evidence of community spread.
Okay, so there's no corner or community of Wright County that is so far exempt from this. Everybody's had at least some cases.
Absolutely, that is correct, yes.
Okay.
We do have a dashboard that I invite your listeners to look at on our Wright County COVID page, and it does do zip code. So we do drill down to zip code level data. As long as a zip code has had 10 or more cases, we identify the number of cases. So if the zip code, I think right now there are 2 zip codes in the county that are not listed. They've had cases, but they have not had that minimum threshold of 10. So we don't release the exact numbers to protect people's privacy.
And was this pretty much expected by public health officials like yourselves and, going up the ladder to state and national?
The increase in cases, is that what you're asking?
Right, right.
I don't think that is necessarily what I personally expected. I had hoped as we continued to loosen the restrictions on the state that people would abide by the guidance for social distancing, for staying home when sick, but we continue to see transmission in common areas like bars and restaurants and at workplaces. I think people, unfortunately, get complacent in the long, drawn-out response. They maybe think their risk is different because the cases weren't as high earlier on in Wright County as other places. There was certainly a significant toll on our long-term care community for a while, and that also meant that there was some misconception that that was the only place that transmission was happening. That is not the case. We see transmission in our in all sorts of settings, and we still see people who become ill and feel like they don't know where they became infected when they were out in the community, which is unfortunate. And then we do see a lot of transmission between our family members and people who choose to share time and space together.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of brings us to what you started with as far as younger populations. Mm-hmm. You're also seeing younger folks that are showing up with positive tests more so than earlier?
Yes. So our average age has decreased some. We always had a younger age group than the rest of the state. While we had some long-term care cases who were residents, the majority of our long-term care associated cases had been healthcare workers working in those facilities. And that's actually evidence on our dashboard where over 80% of our folks, the cases are associated with a private residence, not a long-term care facility. And so we had a younger population in general than the state, but that has decreased. Our largest population of cases is our 20 to 29-year-old age group. Our second largest age group of cases is the 30 through 39-year-olds.
Okay. Talking with Sarah Groshish. She's the Public Health Director for Rank County Public Health. That leads us to the school year coming up. We've talked a little bit with some of the superintendents already, and of course, still kind of fluid between now and Labor Day as far as the numbers are concerned. But from a public health aspect, bring us up to date as far as what's ahead for the school year now.
So on July 30th, the state announced that safe learning plan. Sounds like you've talked to some of the school districts already. We have a school liaison that we've assigned to supporting all of our districts. We're helping all of our school districts as well as our charter schools. Wright County actually has over 10 districts that either operate partially or all in our borders, four charter schools, I believe, and several private schools who are also using us as a resource. The school district plan, schools were initially told to plan for three scenarios. There's actually five. One is all in person. Five is that everything is distance learning. And then there's 3 degrees in between that, where they divide it by age group based on some risk factors as we've learned more science about the impact of COVID-19 on youth and young children. So right now that threshold that they use to move from all in-person is a case rate by county, and it's a case rate that is defined by the 14-day positive rate. It's a little bit of a delayed number, because it allows for all the testing data to be processed. There is a delay. It's not instantaneous from when someone is tested to when they receive the results. There's a waiting period. So right now, that number is updated every Thursday. So as of the July 12th through July 25th 14-day period, Wright County has 12.96 cases per 10,000 people. And that puts us in the threshold over 10 per 10,000 people, where we have to have learning models that are hybrid for secondary ed or 6th or 7th grade, depending on the district, and older, and in-person for elementary school. We anticipate that, I can't anticipate anything. I threw my crystal ball out a long time ago, but we hope that that number stays stable. This is where those prevention activities like wearing a mask and social distancing and using precautions in public spaces are really important. If we have local issues like an outbreak, it could disrupt the learning model for that school, but that's something that would be... It's a big deal, right, for a school district to move between learning models, to have to all of a sudden go to a hybrid learning for their younger kids, which is a level 3 learning model. And we don't want to make that decision unless we ultimately really have to. So there'll be lots of other steps along the way before we would ever ask an entire district to change their learning model. But we do anticipate a lot of coordination with them, and they're all working very, very hard on their plans as they get ready to open for the school year.
We started our discussion on things that are kind of unprecedented, and here's another one, you know, that parents are being asked to, you know, kind of be ready, just, you know, almost like the teachers and the administration and everyone else associated with schools, kind of like, well, it's a moving target, and it's really nobody's fault that it's a moving target. You just have to kind of be ready for whatever happens, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't anybody's fault, but we can all be partners in making sure that our kids go back to school. As a parent myself, I want to make sure that my kiddo has a safe in-person learning option, and I actually have kids that are impacted on both the hybrid and the in-person model, just by their age ranges. And, you know, I think that's important that we realize that we can be in control of this to some degree as well. I know a lot of our districts are asking their parents to partner in supporting the mask wearing in public, for instance. And we're about a week away from starting to really see the impact of that state mandate. So hopefully it will improve some of the data, and perhaps we could even get to a point where we have in-person learning safely for all of our ages.
Yeah.
That would be the ultimate goal.
That would be fantastic.
But I know that, like I mentioned, it's not, it would not be a, I think there's some concern with this looking at the 14-day case rate. Some parents have read that or thought that meant that we would be moving in and out of learning models, and that's not the intent. It's really a barometer of a jumping off point, and then there's lots of local understanding. So there is the possibility that an outbreak could happen in a community that really doesn't impact the younger folks. Perhaps it's associated with one long-term care facility, or you know, in a setting that doesn't impact the students. You know, that would all be taken into account. But there is, you know, that idea that there could be times when you have to quarantine or isolate because you or your student is experiencing symptoms. And, you know, we ask that people who are sick to stay home. And that, for some folks, that can be really difficult. We understand that. People are going to need a lot of support in achieving all of these safety measures.
We started a little bit down the path of the mask mandate. I'm going to give you time to expand on that a little bit. This is something, as you said, that's a couple of weeks old, and we're kind of waiting to see numbers on what, if anything, it's changing out there. But maybe just bring us up to date on the whole mask situation.
Sure. So we certainly know that COVID-19 spreads through droplets. And even though the virus itself is very, very small, it's always contained when it comes out of our mouth within a larger water droplet. And it can be released when somebody is just breathing, but also certainly talking, singing. These other things seem to even increase more transmission. And people are transmitting this even if they are not sick. There's both people who never get sick, which we call asymptomatic, and they can still spread the virus. And there's also something called pre-symptomatic, where people are shown to be infectious generally about the first 2 days before they start to show symptoms. So when we have public health nurses that do what's called case investigation and contact tracing, and they call and talk to a case, it's, we really encourage folks to take those calls and help us understand what's going on. And we'll ask about your experiences the days before you became symptomatic so that we can have an understanding of where transmission might be happening in our community. That allows us to communicate with workplaces. Many people choose to do that communication on their own, but if they're not comfortable, we're happy to do that for them. Any close contacts, again, people often, we support them in telling their family members themselves. But if they would like us, for whatever reason, to make that phone call, we can do that as well. So that's where those masks, because you don't know if someone is sick or not, really become important. A good cloth face mask. Homemade ones are fine. That is close fitting, but is comfortable on your face, does rather well. As do surgical masks, which certainly early on in the pandemic were in short supply, but the supply chain for that has seemed to rebound rather well, and you can find those in local stores. All seem to do well, and again, may not be as perfect as an N95, but a lot of the research is pointing to that it doesn't need to be perfect, and really just reducing the amount of transmission will be enough for us to get a good toehold on getting control of things. And then the other measures, like doing contact investigation, are even more effective when we have fewer cases.
You keep hearing this phrase, Sarah, about the masks basically help a person to protect somebody else, and them wearing one helps to protect you. So it's a hand-in-hand type thing.
Absolutely. So it is most effective when two individuals are wearing masks. It's even more effective when two individuals are wearing masks and they're 6 feet apart. I'll tell you that as well. But for definitely in close contact with individuals, yes, those masks are really quite do a good job, especially, like I said, if they're well-fitting. Even those homemade mom masks that, or dads, I don't want to make generalizations about who does the sewing in the house, but those are great. They do rather well. So as of August 5th, 34 states had a mask mandate requiring people to wear face coverings in public places. So we're not alone in this effort. And I know that there's been interesting information even from other states where they've had some counties adopt it and some not. That has really demonstrated the ability to reduce the spread.
I don't know if public health gets any feel for the situation on it. I don't know if there's even such a thing as statistics as far as anybody resisting it. I can't think of an instance that I have run into since the mask mandate went into place that I have seen any kind of, you know, anybody really putting up a fuss about, going along with the mask mandate. But then, you know, you only see a small sample size too. So I don't know if public health has kind of a feeling of, is everybody kind of complying with this pretty well?
I wish to say that everyone was complying. I think there was actually a mask requirement for restaurants and especially food establishments and bars prior to the statewide mandate. As well as for other local businesses, we've been part of distributing masks, but we're also where a lot of complaints come in. And it has not been complaint-free, but I think we really strive to educate our local businesses and restaurants about the requirements. And then if necessary, we don't do the licensing, but the state does, then it is reported to the appropriate authorities. But most of the time, an educational component really works well. We've had a couple of events as well that are meet the state guidelines. Like right now, a public event can only be 250 people at a time, and that includes participants and spectators, whether it's a sporting event or a music venue or something like that, if it's outside. And we've worked to have a couple, I think, be very successful and just explain the requirements, and they seem to have done just fine. But it's an education piece for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's let you wrap up with kind of something a little bit more long range, and maybe just kind of talk about how Wright County's response has had to change as we've evolved here over the months, and what you're currently kind of planning for.
Sure. So most of, I would say probably more than half of my staff continue to be directly involved in the response and are part of what we call an incident command structure with an incident commander, and we have people that are working on different aspects of the response. We continue to do focus on communication. We have, besides working with our school districts, we work directly with all of our long-term care facilities and our businesses as well as our chambers. And then we've also been really focusing as of late with our healthcare partners to expand access to testing, especially in rural areas of our county. We just don't have as much healthcare access either. And then testing has proven to be somewhat of a tricky wicket to get access to everybody. Other than that, we are working on our data, and I mentioned the dashboard that's updated on Thursdays. There's also postings to our public health Facebook page as well, and the county Facebook page that reiterate a lot of those data points and how they've changed over the week. And finally, we are preparing for the inevitability of having to distribute a vaccine in the community. We're hopeful that we'll have something in early 2021, and we're starting to plan and build our structures for that. So that piece is exciting to think about the inevitability of having some, some prevention tools, adding some prevention tools to really get things under control here.
And I know this isn't necessarily on the outline here, Sarah, but maybe you can just address a little bit. We're headed directly into the flu season too. Mm-hmm. So maybe just talk a little bit, if you can, about how important flu shots will be this year, even more than ever before.
Right. Flu shots are going to be incredibly important. First of all, they're a safe and effective way of preventing and reducing the impact of flu. We're starting to track some data here about those that, we're not the first country to, as the flu season starts up, it starts in other on the southern hemisphere first. So we're starting to look at data from other countries about co-infection and how that can really have even poorer outcome with COVID-19 and flu at the same time. It also just makes things very confusing because they have similar symptoms. And so certainly flu can make people very sick, as can COVID-19. And then understanding what you have and how to appropriately take care of yourself and protect yourself and your family members is going to be critically important. Just being able to have a good flu control in our community is going to allow us to control COVID-19 as well.
Has there been any messages out as far as when the flu vaccine will be decided on and distributed for this year?
I don't have an update on when the vaccine will be available. We are still waiting to hear on that, but mm-hmm. generally we will know sometime in late September or early October. And are often by the end of October able to provide vaccine. But I don't have an exact date for you at this time.
Sure.
But definitely I think that would be something we would come back on and share. We also know that we have had a decrease in across the state in access to child care immunizations or child age group immunizations, and we are just beginning to roll out our immunization program. Many folks use their primary care providers, but we are a safety net provider for vaccines for children, and we're getting that program back up and running, and then we'll be prepared for flu as well. We had a lot of staff diverted into the response for COVID, and now we're moving them into that vaccine response, and it gets them ready for the ability to distribute a COVID-19 vaccine as well.
Wright County Public Health Director Sarah Grosich, our guest today on Spotlight. Let's have you wrap up with contact points and other information if people need it and where they can reach someone.
Yeah, so we do have thank you for that piece. I have my standard prevention messages, but before I jump to that, we do have a public health hotline, and whether it's a concern or you have some symptoms you want to discuss or need to find access to testing or another resource because you've had to isolate, please make sure to call the public health hotline, 763-682-7407. And if, we are happy to hear from you and help you navigate those situations. We have nurses and staff that staff those lines for 5 days a week, and we'll return messages on the weekend. That's also on our Facebook page, as I mentioned, as is all of our data. And we are happy to respond to data requests and questions about the data as well when we're able.
And the dashboard that you mentioned is available too.
Yes, exactly. That's also on our COVID-19 website as well, as is links on the data page to the MDH holds all the information for the 14-day case rate for schools, but I know that we know that many families are tracking that information very carefully. We're so glad that people are interested in the local community data and want to make sure that it's accessible to them and they don't have to go look on several different websites. So we have a direct link to that, as well as also reported on Thursdays is the number of tests that are conducted in the community and the number, it's called the positivity rate or the rate of positive tests that we see over the time period. And county level data is available through the state for that. And we provide a direct link to those weekly reports as well so people can delve into it. It's exciting to see community members so engaged with the local information and really want to make sure that it's accessible for them. But as far as closing comments, you know, I think we recognize here very clearly that there's been a lot of sacrifices that everyone has had to make, ourselves included, but certainly our community members, to respond to this pandemic. It has taken everyone, and we're so very grateful for the support and the the community effort to keep each other safe. It's not an easy task, and many of you have had to make significant sacrifices. But we do believe it's making a difference. And you know, whether you're going that extra mile to make few trips or really keeping your whether it's a little pod with only a couple of friends, or you just keep your family together and try not to get into large groups, all of that's really difficult. But we want to encourage that there aren't large gatherings, that there aren't situations for a lot of community spread. So we appreciate everyone's effort on that, and certainly for abiding by the mask mandate. We really do think it'll make a big difference.
Very good. Sarah Groshish, Wright County Public Health Director, our guest on today's Spotlight. Thank you for the update, and for sure we'll be in touch with you. And anytime that you feel the county needs an update, we're more than happy to play our part here, too.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, we'll definitely come back for flu season.
Okay.
It'll be a great, and I'm sure we'll have some updates on the progress of a vaccine by that time.
Sounds great. Best to you and your staff, and continue the good work.
Thank you so much.
There's today's Spotlight on KRWC.